The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of Bend the Knee is brought to you by Lady Rena.
Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt, the Bud Knight.
And I am Sir Ezra the Watchful. Welcome to our Song of Ice and Fire book club. Today we are into chapter 26, John of A Game of Thrones. And in A World of Ice and Fire, we are discussing Jaehaerys Targaryen, second of his name, King of the Andals, the Rhoynar, and the First Men, Lord of the Seven Kingdoms, and Protector of the Realm.
Yeah, quite a mouthful.
Quite a mouthful. We had to add in the Rhoynar. I think it was.
Sir Gibbs? I think his title is longer than his chapter.
It is. It really is.
It might be.
But you know, I think when I first looked up putting in, you know, King of the Andals, King of the First Men, all that kind of stuff, you got to watch about putting the Rhoynar in there. Depends on when the Dornish were sort of, you know, I guess technically when they had bent the knee.
Yeah.
So I can't remember where I must have looked up a different king or something, and you know, thrown in the title without the Rhoynar at some point. So yeah. Thank you to, I think it was Sir Gibbs, wasn't it, who corrected me on that? Pretty sure, yeah. So appreciate that. Good stuff going on in the Facebook group. So we get corrections sometimes on episodes there. We get new intel on the HBO show, maybe possibly. What Gurr's doing, his movements, we're tracking
threats
things.
Threats to the realm.
Threats to the realm.
I mean,
lots of stuff there. So, yeah real was, exciting.
Was it? So, Alexander Zoidberg, who posted the Order of the Green Hand, Bend the Knee sigil there, and he was like, house words, shots have been fired.
I got a good
laugh from that. And then I believe I posted and I said, I will go Blood Raven on anyone who decides to use that. See Aenys Blackfyre.
Yeah.
So just,
I did not.
I
was like, did they just show up in our group? Like, what just happened? You know?
Yeah.
It was like it was almost like a graffiti thing. Uh-huh. You know, it was like, there's our thing. And then somebody had graffitied the Green Hand over it. Yeah. It was actually hilarious.
Yeah.
All right. We always mention at the top of the show, you can send us a raven at btkcast@gmail.com. Every Friday we do follow-up Friday. It's a lot of fun. Can go anywhere. So definitely get your raven in before this upcoming Friday. We have a few, but we've been honoring those who send us who have been listening and send us their first raven or a new raven.
Yeah.
You know, 'cause we think that's important to kind of get, you know, some of those new voices, you know, in on the show. So we still have our classics, but it's fun.
Old gods and the new.
That's right.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and head on over to a small council. Just kind of some updates on life and then some show news. So, Sir Ezra, how's it going?
Updates on life.
Somebody asked me, it was Maddie V on Instagram who hit us up quite a few times. He said, is one of you guys a teacher?
Oh, yeah.
Because you mentioned you were going back to school.
Yeah, actually, you know what?
More of a maester.
I am. Yeah. But I recently have decided that it's time for me to pick up a sword.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to, Sir Matt threw that out in the group. Rhaegar and his time of studying was over. I know I'm back to school, but I think it's time for me to hit the weights.
Yeah.
So I've got a lot going on in life, kind of stressed, kind of been, you know, moving around, longer drives and stuff, and I think it's time for me to pick up a sword.
Yeah.
So look for more updates on my Instagram coming soon.
Yeah,
so,
I'm getting ready. I'm getting everything packed for my journey on the King's Road.
Yeah.
Heading to the Westerlands, I believe, or so.
Yeah.
Getting that going. It's funny because, you know, as we'll get into our Maester study here when we talk about World of Ice and Fire, but I think we just looked at it and it's going the last show that Sir Ezra and I will record, like in the sitting in the same room, is going to be Robert's Rebellion.
Yeah.
So it is kind of this like Robert Baratheon and like Ned Stark going their like separate ways. So it's just funny.
Oh man. Yeah. It's
but I think I'm more Robert Baratheon and you're more Ned Stark. So yeah.
You've always been a big more Baratheon.
I am a Baratheon fan. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is good. You know, actually, on the note of the, this is a reminder. So if I forget to post this in the group, please let me know. Send us a message. But someone sent me a back to school like Lord of the Rings meme thing, and so it's somewhat relevant. I would like to make one that's for like using the Game of Thrones stuff, because it's like, you know, it was Monday and it just shows you a quick, you know, quote or whatever, and Tuesday it's like Sam saying by rights we shouldn't even be here, you know, and Wednesday death and destruction, you know. So it's just I would love to do one of those for Ben. Maybe there is something out there for Game of Thrones that I haven't seen, but anyone who's starting a new project or, you know, what have you, it's just kind of fun. It was funny. I'll share that in our group so you guys can have a good laugh, and then maybe somebody get creative enough to make one for us.
Absolutely. So
all righty.
All right, well, some show news. I was reading on, actually this was on Fox News, I was reading some other things that are going on in the world. Just Jesus, weekend's just been crazy.
Yeah.
In terms of real life news. So I was reading some news, and I read all the different news as I just happen to be on this one at the that current time, because I just type in Game of Thrones and it's always the first thing that came up. So a report that the season 8 might premiere a little later than we were expecting.
Really?
Because, you know, remember last time when season 7 came out, you have to have so many of your episodes come out before a certain date to be qualified for like the following year's Emmys.
Yeah.
And they're saying that might be the case with this season.
So they want that. Yeah.
So they're saying that they might miss if it airs next year, it might not appear on the Emmys until like 2020 or whatever. So okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So they it looks like they're saying we may not air before May.
Okay. Yeah.
So which is fine. I mean, season 7 aired like late. It was like August.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. So,
wow.
It's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
It's going to be a crazy time for us. Yeah.
So.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, that's neat. If you guys, again, if there's any news that you've come across or just random things, I love when people find actors like Instagrams or Twitters and they like see them in different places, or, you know, see them with someone and they wonder, are they back or did this happen? You know, are they done?
They're done with filming. They're totally done with filming.
Yeah. But still, you know, people kind of like, you know, saying stuff on Twitter. You know, there's always
It seems like they've at some point. From everything I've read, is that pretty much everyone has been asked at some point about like the ending or whatever, and they've all say the same thing. Like it's crazy.
Okay.
Like it's pretty much all is all everyone is saying.
Great. Okay. Good. That's what we want. All right. So I think that's it for Small Council. Let's head over to the Maester's Study here and dive into Jaehaerys II. And
this is another one of these chapters that's quite short. Well, he's also only king for about 3 years. So,
yeah.
The tragedy of Summerhall brought Jaehaerys II of his name to the Iron Throne in 259 AC. Scarcely had he adorned the crown than the Seven Kingdoms found themselves plunged into war, for the Ninepenny Kings had taken and sacked the free city of Tyrosh and seized the Stepstones from where they stood poised to attack Westeros. So then it goes on to list all the different people who are these Ninepenny Kings. You have the Old Mother, who was a pirate queen, Samario Sand, the last Valyrian, Xobar Kokwa, Ebon Prince from the Summer Isles, Lymond Lachere, the Lord of Battles, Spotted Tom the Butcher, Sir Derek Fossaway, the Bad Apple.
There it is.
An exile from Westeros and knight with a black reputation. Nine Eyes Captain of the Jolly Fellows, Alqueo Adaris, the Silver Tongue, a Tyroshi merchant, prince who was wealthy and ambitious, and of course, Maelys Blackfyre, the Monstrous, captain of the Golden Company, named for his grotesquely huge torso and arms, fearsome strength, and savage nature. A second head grew from his neck.
Yeah.
Real weird. No bigger than a fist. He won command of the Golden Company by fighting his cousin Daemon Blackfyre, who could have been like Daemon the fourth or fifth, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
For killing his cousin's Destrier with a single punch and then twisting Daemon's head until it was torn from his shoulders.
Yeah. He's a big dude.
Yeah.
He's monstrous.
Kind of like, he sounds like the mountain.
Yeah. Yeah. And he has like this, if you've seen art of him out there, he has this like second weird head,
mm-hmm.
you know, off coming out of his neck or like off his shoulder.
Right.
It's weird.
Yeah.
So there's that. So that's the Nine Penny Kings. You know, we referenced them last week and again, now it seems like Jaehaerys is actually going to mm-hmm. have to eventually do something. He tries not to.
Yeah, but. Well, he wants to. King Jaehaerys had intended to lead the attack upon the Nine Penny Kings himself, but his hand, Lord Ormond Baratheon, persuaded him that would be unwise. Jaehaerys isn't necessarily a warrior. He's a little more of a bookish guy. He was not skilled in arms or was unused to the rigors of a campaign. The hand pointed it out. It would be folly to risk losing him in battle soon after the tragedy of Summerhall, so he stays in King's Landing and with the queen and lets his army go handle it. Let me see here. Then we go through this. Then it goes through this account of the war from Maester Eon. It's like the maesters in this book, like, oh, it's such a well-written.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right, yeah. Because
That's the thing. You have to remember this book is read from a maester's perspective. It said, Lord Ormond Baratheon, the Westerosi commander, was among the first to perish. Cut down by the hand of Maelys the Monstrous, he died in the arms of his son and heir, Stefan Baratheon, who is, correct if I'm wrong here, he's Robert's dad.
Robert's father.
Robert, yep. And Stannis' dad.
Right.
And he dies in a storm, doesn't he?
Don't they
watch him die in a storm off Storm's End?
I think so.
Like
yeah.
a shipwrecks, I believe that's what happened.
Pat Face survives, right?
Yeah. So, says so. Command of the Targaryen host passed to the new young Lord Commander of the Kingsguard, Sir Gerald Hightower, mm-hmm. the White Bull.
Yep.
Hightower and his men were hard pressed for a time, but as the war hung in the balance, a young knight named Sir Barristan Selmy slew Maelys in single combat, winning undying renown and deciding the issue in a stroke. For the remainder of the Ninepenny Kings had little to no interest in Westeros, and soon fell back to their own domain. Maelys the Monstrous was the fifth and last of the Blackfyre pretenders. With his death, the curse that Aegon the Unworthy had inflicted on the Seven Kingdoms by giving his sword to his bastard son was finally ended. And I'm going to put all of that in air quotes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Finally ended.
Yeah. Right.
And then it just goes on to talk about what really happens with Jaehaerys the second, and it's about a paragraph and not a lot. He just goes back, there's peace, and he dies.
Yeah, exactly. Though never strong, he proved to be capable. He restores order. You know, not much goes on, really.
He just got ill and died from a short sickness.
Yeah, illness, yeah, for sure. One thing I thought was really interesting about this, and I'm going to go back here. So the tragedy of Summerhall brought Jaehaerys, as we said last mm-hmm. week. And then it says, now the moment was at hand, and King Aegon the Fifth was gone.
Yeah, it doesn't say he was dead.
No. Nope. He's gone. As was the Prince of Dragonflies. Prince Darren, that splendid knight, had died years before, leaving only Jaehaerys. So remember, his first son now, Duncan, mm-hmm. where I'm going backwards here, I'm sorry, Jaehaerys II, who we're talking about right now, has two brothers. He has Duncan, who gave up his claim to the throne with Virginia of Oldstones. And then, so he gets it. And then his younger brother, Darren, actually died before the tragedy of Summerhall.
Yeah.
And no one, it never says that Duncan died at Summerhall. It never says that, I mean.
That's the Prince Duncan.
Prince Duncan,
or Sir Duncan the Tall.
Or
Aegon the Fifth.
Aegon the Fifth. Never says any of them died. Matter of fact, it's like
or the ghost
of
Highheart.
Yeah, exactly.
And she was probably there.
She was probably there, and she's still alive. Yeah.
Yeah. Know? Well, she's gorged on grief.
Now, some people might have died there. So, like for example, she seems to imply that Jaime of Oldstones, right? Yeah.
Nor did Aerys.
Right. Exactly. So we have some survivors of it, right?
Who is it possible that Aerys 1 caused the tragedy at Summerhall, and 2 killed Jaehaerys II? I just thought of that. It says he got sick really quick. I don't know. Yeah. I just wouldn't put it past him.
I don't know. Could have.
We don't have any of this Mad King kind of history, and so
it wouldn't be the first time though that a son
or a grandson
had done something like that to either his because if that was the case, he would have done it to his grandfather and then his father to try to get the throne. Yeah, interesting. I don't know, because you might have been able to pick out like if somebody lives so long that like I'm granddad's gonna live forever, and then by that time then it'll be
Because it says right here when Jaehaerys the second dies he was only 36. So even he was kind of young.
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
Is it 36?
37. He was 37 years of age at his passing.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. Okay. So, I don't know. I think it's neat. Just never forget that Summerhall, it happened, but we don't really know what happened or who died.
Yeah.
So.
But, so, a while back, Sir Ezra and I had done, on a Follow-Up Friday episode, we had done our kind of top 10 people.
Yeah.
And this right here. So we already have Sir Duncan the Tall was beaten by Barristan Selmy at a tourney.
Yeah.
Now Sir Barristan Selmy kills Maely's Blackfyre.
Yeah.
Yeah, the monstrous sounds like a boss.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean never forget when I totally believe Sir Barristan when Joffrey sends him away that he would have killed everyone in the room.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. Like try it. I mean none of them would, they knew they didn't want
to be. Well, Artisan Whitebeard, who he's pretending to be.
Yeah.
Like even Jorah Mormont's like, trust me, he's no just old man. He doesn't know who he is yet.
Right, yeah.
Because he he's just using a staff and he's like wrecking people. So
there's something going on there, yeah. So yeah,
and we do know that he kills Barristan Selmy kills two guards when he's leaving King's Landing. They try to stop him and he kills him. Yeah,
he's something else. I mean, like what's neat is once you see them in battle, that's where I think you can really, tourneys are fun, but like Dunk is not good with a lance.
No,
I mean clearly not.
Yeah, and I don't believe it says that he beat him in.
It doesn't.
In a melee. If he beat him in a melee, that's pretty. That's a total different story. Right.
Yeah, the tilts are normally more watched, but sometimes they actually do specify whether it was, hand-to-hand combat or something, So.
Yeah, so.
Anyways, okay, so that's...
And the artwork from the World of Ice and Fire book, all you have to do is just type in Barristan Selmy, Maely's Blackfyre. That shot of them just, like, riding towards each other. Maely's Blackfyre has a, it's not a Morningstar, it's a flail, isn't it?
Yeah. Have you ever, you just said the artwork, take a close look at this, Sir Matt. Is there someone being born at the tragedy of Summerhall down there? Is there a birth taking place?
Rhaegar.
Okay.
Yeah,
is that what that means?
I believe so.
So he was born during the...
I don't know.
I thought it was for his name. I thought it was because they're coming there to celebrate.
Well, I haven't noticed that in that picture.
I mean, who is that that's birthing a child while Summerhall is on fire?
Also, doesn't this look like a person up here? Like a girl kind of overlooking in this dark cloud up here?
Yes, it does. What the heck?
That look like it could be a dragon?
A dragon? Absolutely, it's a dragon.
Wow, okay. I have the ebook of it, and I'll show you how small the picture is. So I haven't seen it blown up.
Right, real big. I get you.
Yeah, okay, wow.
Yeah, there are multiple people kind of on the... there are people still running out. Actually, you can see in the very back. But someone is born, and it looks like this woman had literally just given birth, and there's a maester there.
I thought that Rhaegar... Because... Nope, now we got it.
We'll just go back. If we flip back one page here...
I thought that was the whole thing. It says... I thought that's why they were there.
In 295 AC, the king summoned many of those closest to him to Summerhall, his favorite castle, there to celebrate the impending birth. Okay, so
that is probably Rhaegar being born.
So he is born there. Okay, cool.
So it's already burning down while he's being born.
That's insane.
That is insane.
I thought he was already born and they brought him there to have so he's actually born there. That's nuts.
So here's a question. So is Duncan Egg flying out on that dragon that's in the sky there?
Yeah, it's just a little bit of shading that looks interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people possibly running out of there. Just real interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
well,
all right. Sorry.
We'll just post it in the Facebook group and let you guys decide. Yeah. Tell us what you think.
Tell us
what you see in this photo.
So, okay. All right. I think that's it for Jaehaerys, right?
Yeah. And so next week is going to be kind of interesting because there's next week is the last king, the way this book works.
Right.
So the next week will be Ares the Second. And then there is a follow-up chapter, which is just the way this book is kind of laid out. It's called The Fall of the Dragons. Yep. So it's probably going to be split up into, I guess, kind of two. We may split it up into two parts.
Okay. We'll still cover Ares next week, though.
Yeah, so Ares. So it'll be Ares kind of leading up to Robert's Rebellion.
I mean, Ares is a big chapter.
Ares is a big chapter.
Yeah.
And then you have the Fall of the Dragon, which kind of then goes into... That's like Robert's Rebellion. And then we have Robert's Rebellion chapter.
Yeah.
So we may kind of push these together. Yeah, and then you have fine. The Glorious Reign, which is Robert's Reign, which is like a page. So
yeah,
we may kind of just do these together. Yeah.
Over the next... Yeah, because Ares will have to be by itself just because there's so much happening.
There's so much. And it's mostly... It's really less of an Ares chapter and really more of a Tywin Lannister chapter.
Yep. So that'll be good for next week. So
it's really long. It's by far the longest chapter.
Yeah.
That we've covered in this book.
If you haven't really been into A World of Ice and Fire, which is totally fine, now's the time to start paying attention. I think because it pertains very much so to
We're here.
Yeah,
we're just before the book.
Yeah,
and really this is. And you know, we get messages about the World of Ice and Fire. Some people are like, I just don't know that stuff. And that's fine. That's why we're doing it. Yeah. But this stuff right here, this next chapter, these next few chapters, I mean, all this stuff is mentioned. Yeah. It's like talked about.
Characters are still alive
in the show. I mean, this is the whole setup for, you know, it's like if there were a prequel book to Game of Thrones,
right?
This would be it.
Yep. So. Yep. Exactly.
Yep. So.
Okay, I think that's it there. So let's dive over into the reread this week.
Yeah. So last week we were in Eddard 5, where Ned had spoke with Grand Maester Pycelle about Lord John Arryn's final days. On his way back, he finds Arya training to be a water dancer, and he's later visited by Littlefinger, who kind of tells him about his men and some of his other people's men, and asks him who he should trust and who he shouldn't. So
right.
This week we are in John chapter 4, but the last time we were with John, he was training and attacked by several other recruits and saved by Donald Noy, who shows him the error of his ways. John met up with Tyrion and later learns from the Lord Commander that Bran had awoken.
Mm-hmm.
So we're, you know, a little time after that, and here we are in John 4. Samwell Tarly appears in the yard while John is training the other recruits when Sir Alistair Thorne orders Sam beaten after he yields. John and his friends aid the new recruit. Later, John talks with Sam and afterwards convinces the other recruits to go easy on him despite Alistair Thorne's commands.
Yep, absolutely. Okay.
This broken up here into thirds.
Yep.
We have the fattest boy he's ever seen. I fear I'm a coward. And remember, we know where you sleep. It's kind of a lengthy chapter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mostly just kind of setting up where everything's going to go. Not really a lot happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really kind of one event. But it's just kind of lengthy in the dialogue.
Yeah.
It's mostly Sam backstory.
Yeah. It's all character development. We have a new character who's actually going to be
a huge part.
And
he has a ton of POV chapters.
Yeah. We spend some significant time kind of going over him. You know, someone gave us a review not too long ago on iTunes and talked about how we are all-encompassing a little bit, which I really appreciate someone saying that. I don't expect every review to be, you know, positive and what have you. There's errors on the show and things. But I really appreciated that because one of the things I was about to say here was that the show does a really good job.
It does.
This chapter is like...
It really does.
As I was reading it again, I was kind of like, I'm just looking for differences. I'm trying to think of what's
different. Not a lot in this.
Not a whole lot, actually. So
yeah, and you know, I'll say in general, I think the character that the show handles probably the most true is Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's some storytelling differences later when we get into like Sam and Maester Aemon and what kind of happens at Old Town.
Right.
But again, we don't really know.
Right,
so like all that post stuff, we don't know.
And I'm guessing they'll still handle it.
I'm guessing though that what happens, I know we're skipping kind of way ahead here, but it's kind of talking about where Sam's going to go in the show and the books. And it all starts here. is I actually think the him stealing the Valyrian steel sword is going to happen the same way.
Yeah.
Similar way. But he's at Old Town now. It was because the difference was they were going to.
Right. And they end up.
So my guess is that they will be leaving.
Yeah.
And they'll stop. There.
Yeah.
They'll stop and then they'll head back.
Yeah. Cause I think there'll be something that he learned. Like he'll need that sword for something.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's not like, I mean, for him, the difference between the book and the show, it's not nearly as drastic as like Arya being a cupbearer for Tywin Lannister or Roose Bolton, you know, like bigger, totally bigger things. Sam's a pretty good.
Yeah, pretty absolutely. Good thing, yeah, so, okay. So let's jump in here just at the start. Basically, you know, when Sam appears, it's a shock.
Yeah.
Shockarooski here because.
Yeah. What do they call him? They call him Sir Piggy.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I mean, he's huge. And they said he was about 20 stone. Looked like he weighed 20 stone.
Yeah. I've got it. Yeah. Pulled up here. So John was showing Darren how best to deliver a side stroke when the new recruit entered the practice yard. Your feet should be apart, he urged. You don't want to lose your balance. That's good. Now pivot as you deliver the stroke. Get all the weight behind your blade. Darren broke off and lifted his visor. Seven gods, he murmured. Would you look at this, John? John turned through the eye slit of his helm and beheld the fattest boy he'd ever seen standing in the door of the armory. By the look of him, he must have weighed 20 stone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then I had to do some math because, like, we're not from England. And we've heard that phrase, right. Stone. I think a stone is roughly, like, 15 pounds.
Okay.
I
have no idea.
I think we looked it up once.
Yeah.
20 times 15. That makes around 300 pounds. So that sounds about accurate.
Yeah. I mean, I went out. I was doing research for this, and I went down to my creek and pulled out about 20 stones and stacked them up in the backyard just to see what it would look like.
Yeah. And
it didn't really work.
I don't know. I got gravel. I got gravel, and yeah, I was Matt like, well, this is pea gravel. So I was
Matt
like.
I could hold him in his hand. I was like, this is not making any sense at all.
Yeah. So. I mean, like, it's hard enough trying to go between, like, you know, miles and kilometers gallons and liters. And then there's just weird random stone.
Stones.
Like, I don't even know what that is. Like.
What is going on? Yeah.
So anyway, I'm sure Lady Jade or Sir Aubrey of Newcastle
can tell us.
Hook us up and tell us, you know, do the conversion for us, you know, ignorant Americans.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, I mean, here's the thing. He's a big guy. Could he, if he had the courage, could he take on some of these other.
He kills White Walker.
He does.
So
I know
Sam the Slayer.
He's a big deal.
Yeah, I love Sam. Sam,
me
I,
too. And this is a really good chapter for him, right?
Yeah.
You really start to like by the end. It's not to jump way ahead, but you feel so good.
And
friendship.
Think of this.
True friendship.
This is the first time we get a new character entered that is going to be like a POV character. That's going to be like a bigger. Kind of a bigger deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, up until now, it's always been like King's Landing stuff. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
So, like, this is the first, like, that northern angle character entered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point. Okay. So they kind of break off their training session a little bit. And, you know, Pip, you've got some cool characters here. And this is a good rehash for us. You've got Pip, you've got Grin, you've got Halder. You've got Darren. What's the other guy's name? The guy that's the bad guy. Rat. What's his name? Yeah. So they're all, you know, just training under Sir
Pip,
Alistair.
Pip, who says he's like, oh, I know where I can tell where he's from.
Did you think that was interesting?
Because, I think it's cool. Yeah.
Okay. Because he was a part of
A mummer's troop.
Mummer's troop. Yeah.
Yeah.
And basically he says that he could tell just based off somebody's voice where they're from, you know, in the Seven Kingdoms. I would love, you know, and we always look at taking ravens for Fallout Friday. I would love if someone could maybe track down if Pip had ever used this skill later on when they encounter someone or overheard someone speaking or what have you. I just kind of wonder if it's something that we might, or even with the wildlings, like if he hears a wildling speak and he's like, wait a second, what?
Yeah.
That guy sounds like he's from Dorne.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Wouldn't that be interesting?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just thought, what a skill to have, and he's pretty darn good, and he's definitely the comedian of the group, and you know, cool character, real scrawny though, but good-hearted guy.
I think it's pretty funny here when they kind of talk about what he's wearing, and he's wearing like a fur, you know, like a nice doublet, and he has like his own armor and stuff like that, and Alistair Thorne Now they send us pigs to man the wall. Is fur and velvet your notion of armor, my lord of ham?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's funny.
Yeah.
And it's not black or anything. And so he says, none of it's black. Alistair Thorne tells him to go to the armory. And it says he spent half the morning with Donald Noy trying to,
piece it together.
Kind of pieces together, like fix his armor and use some of it and kind of stretch some other armor out and make it. It says he looks like when he comes out, he's like about to burst.
Yeah, it looks like it's a sausage that's been it's just like overcooked, ready to burst or whatever. Mm-hmm. So when he comes out, Sir Alistair kind of wants to see how good he is, put a sword in his hand and ask Haldr to take him on. And something interesting about Haldr, he's a blacksmith.
He is a blacksmith. Yeah,
former, kind of worked in the strong, huge.
And he's pretty good. Because John says, he's 16, tall and muscular, and his blows were as hard as any John had ever felt.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, he says, this will be uglier than a whore's ass, Pip muttered. And it was.
It was.
See, I will say, sometimes we talk about Gurr's writing, and it is kind of talked about that Gurr, the character Gurr always kind of associates with himself is Sam.
Yeah.
And there's a huge fan theory.
Yeah.
And I think it would actually be the coolest way to actually do like the final epilogue of the show is that it's going to be Sam, like Sam is a maester writing, having written down this history and that Gurr will do a cameo as Sam,
absolutely,
as like an older Sam writing. And I do think, I really hope, I mean, unless they have something else amazing planned, I do think that would be a cool way to end it.
Yeah.
Regardless of what the ending actually is, like John or
Daenerys,
all that stuff, it would be a very satisfying kind of like
the telling of the story
after the credits scene to end it.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually thought a lot about Gurr when I was, mm-hmm. listening to this, just because of, this character. And I wondered, well, in his writing there, just that this is, like you said, this is going to be uglier than a horse's ass.
Yeah.
And it's just hilarious.
A horse's ass.
Whore's ass. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And Pip was, Pip is hilarious throughout the entire thing. So, so the fight lasted less than a minute before the fat boy was on the ground. His whole body was shaking. His blood leaked through his shattered helm and between his pudgy fingers. I yield, he shrilled.
Yeah.
Rast. That's the other character I was looking for. Yeah.
Yeah. And something I just noticed here, you'd actually just made a joke about it too. And I'm sure actually this is the case. And I'm just realizing it here is you can really see Gurr's Tolkien influence here. I mean, I open my book and I see Sam and Pip and I'm like, am I in the wrong book?
I know. Like, I know. Yeah. Good call. So now he's yielding, but Sir Alistair won't have it.
He won't have it.
He wants him back up on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically instructs Haldr. And actually, there's actually a character. Funny that you say that. There's a character in Lord of the Rings called Haldir.
Okay.
And he's a big deal, actually, that people don't know
a lot
about.
That's in the
books,
right?
That's in the books,
I'm not.
He's
I'm
in
the
movie,
I'm not
too,
familiar
but
with,
people don't. We mention his name, like, once, and people don't really even catch it.
But,
So Haldr is there. And he doesn't want to beat him again, but he eventually has to, like, he takes the flat of his sword, and doesn't he just, like, crack him across the ass?
Yeah.
And just kind of, like, splits the leather, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, just pretty, I don't know, it's a sad little scene,
Because
he's whimpering and doesn't want
to do with this. And this is where John kind of steps in because he doesn't,
Right.
And then on your feet, Thorne repeated, the fat boy struggled to rise, slipped and fell heavily again. Sir Piggy is starting to grasp the notion, Sir Alistair observed again. Haldr lifted the sword and cut us off a ham, Rast urged, laughing. John shook off Pip's hand, Haldr, enough.
Mm-hmm.
This is where, this is where, and sometimes I do feel like John does overstep, and this is why Sir Alistair kind of hates him.
Yeah,
because I mean, like as nice as it is, at the same time, you have to look at what Alistair Thorne's trying to do.
I know. Yeah,
is like because I think
he would have called it off eventually.
Yeah, because in the show, there's a different line here.
Which one are you looking at?
So I'm just looking to make sure it's not here. So in the show, John says, I believe it, correct me if I'm wrong here, doesn't John say, he uses the same line, there's no honor in beating a falling foe. And here they kind of leave it. He says it would seem the bastards in love, but I believe that that's when he says, like, doesn't Alistair Thorne say to Jon Snow, he's like, do you think it's honor when, you know, you got wildlings on you? Isn't that in the show?
In the show?
Yeah.
It might be in the show.
It might be in the show.
Yeah, I can't remember about that, but you might be right. And I would say we don't get, again, it's from Jon's point of view, but Sir Alistair could also be thinking, this is a lordling who has come to, and they don't know why. They have no idea why.
He literally just shows up.
So before he takes his vows, he might want to beat the daylights out of him and say, like, is this really for you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Obviously, they need all these different men and things, but he needs to harden this guy because they get attacked. You know, even if you're just a maester doing your thing, you know, you got to be ready to go.
Because a lot of guys, even though they're not rangers, have the stewards will go north to go help cut down the haunted forest to bring wood up. So they keep it kind of at bay from approach.
Right.
You know, approaching the wall. And
right.
At the same time, he is also, if you're Alistair Thorne, you're seeing this lord and you're saying, even still, even though he's big, because there are bigger, you know, there are bigger guys. Like, even right now, I would take Robert Baratheon over just some, just, you know, some guy.
Right.
Like, even though he's like fat and overweight, because he's still a trained.
Yeah. You're guessing he's trained. And right. He's, you know, yep. You're right. You're right about that. So, but anywho, it basically goes on for a bit, and Jon, as you said, over steps in, and it's he's the bastard speaks, and the peasants tremble.
Yeah,
and he just reminds him that he's the master at arms here, let's see if this is where you said that the line comes in. Haughty your lord, his voice he yielded. Let's see, you're right. It would seem our bastard is in love.
Yeah,
Show me your steel, Lord Snow. And this is where, doesn't he put three guys on Jon?
And Jon takes them, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's neat, though, that Pip jumps in. Am I saying his name? Pip? Yeah. And Gren jump in as well. And so it's actually just to kind of even the odds, right? He had taken two before, but he hadn't...
They'd taken three, yeah.
Hadn't taken three. So, you know, Gren stepped up to make a third. Yeah, the yard had grown deathly quiet. You know, and then he asks,
And you do get this, cool kind of thing here between Jon and Haldr. They're having like a little in like their back and forth where he's talking about Sir Roderick had taught him, you know, he said he knows Haldr is stronger than him. He said, frustrate him and he'll leave himself open.
Yeah.
And it's like the clang of steel echoed through the yard. It's just cool.
Yeah. Know Jon, your foe.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So,
yeah. Yeah. That is really neat. And each of them kind of, you know, Gren had taken what Jon had taught him, used it. He's standing his ground. Pip, though, is giving ground a little bit, but still kind of trying to hold his own there. They end up, you know, defending Samwell.
Right.
And Jon takes them all out. And so, you know, we're good. He gets nailed, though, in the shoulder.
He does.
He gets really hurt in the shoulder. Pretty badly bruised. Can't even lift up his own hands to take his helm off. And Sam helps him.
Yeah.
These big pudgy fingers come over.
Yeah.
Helps him take his, you know, helmet off. And I think he's just dumbfounded as to why would you do this for me? Why would you help me like this, you know?
Yeah.
Because otherwise.
And he says, my name is Samwell Tarly of Horn. He stopped and licked his lips. I mean, I was of Horn Hill until I left. I've come to take the black. My father is Lord Randall, a bannerman to the Tyrells of Highgarden. I used to be his heir only. And his voice kind of trails off.
Yeah.
I'm Jon Snow, Ned Stark's bastard of Winterfell. And he says, if you want, you can call me Sam, like my mother. You know, he's like, Sam's great. He says, and then Pip says, you can call him Lord Snow.
Yeah.
So they kind of just go in, and they're all just kind of introducing each other. And he says, why didn't you get up and fight? And Sam's like, I wanted to. I couldn't. And I was, and that's the, I don't know his name, but the guy who plays Sam is like perfect casting.
Oh, he does a great job. Perfect because all casting. I can see is his face now.
Yeah, and especially season one, because season one, it feels like the dialogue is much more directly taken from the books.
Yeah.
You know, as it goes on, they change some things. But season one, I will say to me, the most, you can definitely look at lines that are, I mean, directly taken from the book. So that's super cool.
Yeah, yeah. And finally, he gets right to it, and he says, explaining why he wouldn't get up, he says, I fear I'm a coward.
Yeah.
Yeah. My Lord Father always said so. Now, mm-hmm. I almost want me. That's something he's been told and told and told and told, mm-hmm. right? There's more to Sam, though. It's just sort of like he's just repeating. I wonder if he truly believes, maybe at this time, because his father said all these different things, but like he's going to grow and you know, kind of come into his own here at the wall. Yeah. That's the effects of your upbringing, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. Because he's not a coward to me, you know? He's, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, all right. John called after him.
They go to the armory.
Yeah, yeah. He says, tomorrow you're going to do better, all that good stuff.
Sam, you know? No, I won't. Yeah, I never do better.
Right.
They talk about him being a craven. I mean,
they're worried about that.
They are.
Because it's kind of a big deal. Like, they don't want to, the guilty through association type of thing. They don't want to be, you know, seen with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways. And then life at Castle Black followed certain patterns. And I thought this was kind of neat because it just goes over. Once we always, at least last chapter in this one, we've seen them in the yard kind of fighting. And this takes us through, like, you know, that's either the morning routine or they've got chores to do after that. And they kind of get time to, they spend with different people. So they'll go to help with the stewards or the builders or to, you know, the blacksmith or what have you, the armory, right? So mm-hmm. he goes in with Donald Noy and you know, is helping him, you know, because he's a one-armed smith. He was, you know, one of our trivia answers a few weeks back.
He was, yes.
Yeah. And he's sharpening axes and different things in there as well. You could also go to, like, Maester Aemon. You could fetch, you know, different ravens and birds for him.
It's
just kind of cool. You actually get everybody there. You get Bowen Marsh mm-hmm. With his counts and his inventories. Who else did I miss? Anybody else in there? They go over the Lord Commander's table. Mm-hmm.
I do think we get this line here. John is thinking, he wondered what Tyrion would have made of the fat boy. And then he remembers that line. Most men would rather deny a hard truth than face it, that Dorth had told him. The world was full of cravens who pretended to be heroes. It took a queer sort of courage to admit to cowardice as Samwell Tarly had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. So that's, yeah, he's thinking about that. His shoulder is still sore, right? So mm-hmm. he kind of moves on just a bit. Let's see. Where does he go back in? Is this where he goes back in and sees Sam sitting by himself, or does he go up to the wall first?
So
the evening meal was almost done by the time he and Ghost reached the common hall.
So, yeah, they go to the common hall, and this is where Pip is kind of telling a story.
And he doesn't sit down with his friends.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So then he sees sort of... He sees
Sam by himself.
Yes, sitting all alone and things. And they talk about this later, but I'm going to talk about it now. He didn't have the courage to sit down with these new friends.
Yeah.
He didn't have the courage to go talk to him. So he, even in that, even in just like sitting down and talking to new people, he decided to go sit by himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just sort of a, you know, timid type of guy.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is interesting. Says the fat boy's eyes widened at the sight of Ghost. Is that a wolf?
Mm-hmm.
A dire wolf, John said. His name is Ghost. And he says, ours is the striding huntsman. So he doesn't... He doesn't shy away from the wolf.
Yeah.
Although I will say, in the audiobook, it does make it... Roy Dotrice, the way he reads it, almost makes it seem like he is kind of frightened of it.
Yeah, I don't think that he is, though. But I think he's intrigued by it.
I think he is. We don't get any of Sam the way Sam's... And it's, you know, Sam's not worried about it at all.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So he's intrigued by the dire wolf. He asked him if they kind of exchange, you know, house, you know.
Histories a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. And
he just says, ours is a striding huntsman. He says, do you like to hunt? And then he starts to talk about why he hates hunting. It's because his dad wanted to hunt him.
Yeah. So. So anyways, they decide to stand up and go outside, right? And he... the round fat faced looked up at him suspicious. Why? What will we do outside? He's always looking for like a trap or looking for someone's going to pick on him, or they're going to ask me to go outside and then they're going to make fun of me, or they're going to do something to me, or it's a setup, you know?
Right.
And he says, just to talk. Have you seen the wall? You know what I mean?
I do like that line. He's like, I'm fat, not blind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course I saw it. It's 700 feet tall. Right. 700 feet tall.
Yeah,
And then he talks about how cold it is and how he hates the cold.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're both from the Seven Kingdoms, but two completely different
regions.
Places.
Because he's from the Reach, and it's,
right,
where it's nice and warm. And
Highgarden is right there. Mm-hmm. House Tarly is, that's their, you know.
Their liege lord.
Their liege lord, yeah. So, okay. Yeah, so he mentions it must be warm where you come from, etc. When he first saw the snow, he said that he felt like, you know, it's nice to see, and then it just gets colder and colder and colder.
And they just go on and on, and Sam says, I don't like this, I don't like that. He says, are they going to make me go up there? He's like, right. I think I'll die if I have to climb it. He says, there's a wench, and they look like a thing, and he's like, I don't like high places.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then John says, are you afraid of everything? I don't understand, if you're so craven, why are you here?
Yep.
And then this is where Sam kind of tells him about, you know, about
what, his father
and what it was.
It's a sad story, but the whole time they've probably been wondering, like, this just doesn't make any sense at all. Why is this guy here? He hates everything about this mm-hmm. place. He wasn't brought by anybody. He comes with his father's two men, and they, you know, he's come to take the black. So anyways, it was, but this is interesting that as he starts, doesn't he just sit down and start crying for a second?
Yeah.
Yeah, he sits down in huge choking sobs, made
John
his whole body shake.
John kind of laughs with him. And John tells him the story of how he found the newborn pups in the late summer snows. It seemed 1,000 years ago. Before long, he found himself talking of Winterfell. And this is kind of interesting here with this John thing. Sometimes I dream about it. He's talking about Winterfell. I'm walking down this long, empty hall. My voice echoes all around, but no one answers. So I walk faster, opening doors, shouting names. I don't even know who I'm looking for. Most nights it's my father, but sometimes it's Rob instead, or my little sister Arya, or my uncle. The thought of Benjen Stark saddened him. His uncle was still missing. The old Baron sent out rangers. They talk about Corran Halfhand going out to Finland, and then he says, do you ever find anyone in your dream? John shook his head. No one. The castle is always empty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that is interesting, because just look at this. Most nights is my father who dies.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's Rob instead who dies.
Yep.
And then he says, my little sister Arya, or my uncle.
Yeah. So is what are you trying to say there? Arya's gonna die?
I'm just saying it's you know, this is a dream that I don't ever see a lot of people talk about.
Yeah,
and
him
it doesn't
talking
mean
about
anything.
He's having a reoccurring dream.
Right, yeah.
He keeps going back to Winterfell, and he's looking for something, for someone. Yeah. You almost wonder if this will come back up later, and he finds someone different.
But here's something else interesting, is that, so you could read it like this. The Arya that Jon knows, so you have Rob die. So the Arya that Jon knows does kind of die, because mm-hmm. Arya is no longer this kind of sweet little, Arya turns into this like hardened person, and
she's transformed. Yeah,
if it goes kind of the same way it goes in the show, well, when he meets his uncle again, his uncle might be Cold Hands. Just say it.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's the first. I think it's the first mention of Benjen in this chapter, mm-hmm. but it won't be the last.
Right.
It actually ends, and it's he's really thinking about his uncle and what he would want to tell him when he returns.
Right.
And when he sees him, so we'll get there in a second. But, So he kind of goes on. They're sharing stories. It's always empty, as you said.
Then listen. Then the dream goes on. Mm-hmm. Even the ravens are gone from the rookery, and the stables are full of bones. That always scares me. I start to run then, throwing open doors, climbing the towers, three steps at a time, screaming for someone, for anyone. And then I find myself in front of the door to the crypts. It's black inside, and I can see the steps spiraling down. Somehow, I know I have to go down there, but I don't want to. I'm afraid of what might be waiting for me.
Yep.
The old kings of winter are down there, sitting on their thrones with stone wolves at their feet and iron swords across their laps. But it's not them I'm afraid of. I scream that I'm not a Stark. This isn't my place. But it's no good. I have to go anyway. So I start down, feeling the walls as I descend, with no torch to light the way. It gets darker and darker until I want to scream. He says, then he stops, says, that's when I always get awake. My skin is cold and clammy, shivering in the darkness of his cell. Ghost would lay up beside him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he asks him about, do you dream of Hornhill?
Right.
So that dream, we got to.
Yeah, we got to unpack it a little bit. I mean, he says, I'm not a Stark. This isn't my place. But it's no good. He has to go down there anyways. And if he is a Targaryen, let's say, you know, and then he's not a Stark. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he would be a Targaryen. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's.
But he still has to go down there. So he still has to potentially go down this road of being a Stark, because he would still be half, right? Like, mm-hmm. he would be half.
Yeah. Or what awaits him down there? You know right. what I mean? What is it he has to go down there and face?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
The Kings of Winter do not scare him.
Yeah. And there's more than the old Kings of Winter down there, though. And so right. the fact that he points out the old Kings of Winter is interesting, because there's been Lord Starks for a while.
What else is down there that is not that would not typically be down there?
Lyanna.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And so he's going down there to face something for sure. So who knows what it could be. Yeah.
It's all just interesting.
Yeah, it is. So now when you ask him about Hornhill, you know, Sam basically, his mouth grew tight. He hated it there, and he starts to kind of, you know, talk about the Tarly family being bannermen to Mace Tyrell of Lord of Highgarden and mm-hmm. Warden of the South, and his father is Randall Tarly, and he was the eldest son,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, and basically, oh, it's neat mentioned that the. That there's the two-handed great sword named Heartsbane, forged mm-hmm. Valyrian steel, passed down from father to son for near 500 years.
Also makes it older than ice that we know of.
Yeah. That is pre Aegon's conquest. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So very interesting.
Yeah. I will say this. Isn't it kind of interesting that even from what we know of Lord Randall Tarly in the books, is it's just like knowing Mace Tyrell, it just seems like Randall Tarly is not the kind of guy who would think highly of like Mace Tyrell.
Right. Yeah.
Like there's I mean, in the show, I think the guy they have him play in the show, who plays Randall Tarly in the show, is really good.
He is.
Just based on what we know of
the hardness
of him. 'Cause that guy does a great job of selling that. And it's just, when you think of that guy's character, it's like, there's no way that guy would like think highly of, you know, of Mace Tyrell.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
'Cause you look at all the other wardens. I mean, so it's like you have Eddard Stark, who's, you know, a boss. Everyone thinks highly of Eddard Stark. You have, Tywin Lannister. And then you have, you know, so mm-hmm. these other guys, and then Jon Arryn was, yeah.
Yeah. You know, Mace Tyrell is actually kind of, even by his own mother, called a bit of a fool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now,
and Cersei hates him. When you get the Cersei chapters in A Storm of Swords, when she's, it's like after he's, after like Joffrey's dead, or maybe it's actually, I think it's not A Storm of Swords. It's A Feast for Crows.
Okay.
So it's after like Tywin is dead and Joffrey is dead. Okay. And so that's where Cersei's starting to have the dreams of like Robert. And like thoughts of Robert, what would Robert do in the situation?
Yeah.
And he's talking, and like, she knows he wants to be Hand of the King. And like, he basically just doesn't come out and say it. And like, it's just funny when he's just like, well, the realm must go on. And you know, all of this stuff.
Well, even in earlier books, he kind of comes off as a bit of an idiot
and a jerk.
Yeah, it's like, all the way in the other characters reacting to him. So, you know, it's
and the guy who plays him in the show, I like too. I think
me too. Me too. Now, it doesn't mean that his sons aren't, you know, his two sons and then, Loras and then a daughter.
Pretty awesome, yeah.
And they're pretty smart and clever and, you know. And whatnot. It's just, you gotta have one of those. But I mean, he's Warden of the South, though, man. I mean,
I think only because,
don't forget that.
Yeah, Robert was just like, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So, but anyways, it goes on. Sam talks about basically his interest. You know, that he loved to listen to music, mm-hmm. make his own songs, wear soft velvets, play in the castle kitchen beside the cooks. On and on and on. Snatched lemon cakes, blueberry tarts. His passions were books. Does that say his passions were books and kittens?
I think
and
so.
Dancing. Mm-hmm. Clumsy as he was, that's just, I don't know. I think we'd be good friends.
Yeah.
So anyways, he grew ill at the sight of blood. He wept to see a chicken slaughtered. It just goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. They did everything they could, the Master at Arms, to try to turn him into this this knight that his father wanted him to be. You know, he was cursed and caned, slapped and starved, and you know, he had to sleep in his chainmail. He had he had to wear his mother's clothing at one point. You know, they tried to shame him into being a better, you know, more of a manly.
Weird. He said, one time two men came to the castle, warlocks from Carth with white skin and blue lips.
Yep.
Who's that?
Right.
You know, they slaughtered a bull's, you know, or a bull aurochs and made me bathe in the hot blood. But that didn't make me as brave as they'd promised.
Yeah, he actually got sick and wretched. But I do wonder if there were any effects or something. Or if that, because who knows what they were actually doing?
Yeah, knows what they were actually
doing. Like, those are the warlocks. Yeah. So, anyways. So, anyways, after that, his mother has, like, three girls, and then finally a son is born to Randall Tarly. So, he basically, from that point forward, ignores Sam, and he gets these years of freedom. Where, like, his younger brother is trained, and his younger brother is... You know, probably kept away from Sam a little bit too, you know, and his sisters, so he could be just raised to be this knightly type of guy, you know. And yeah, eventually, the year before, or is it the year before, or when he becomes a man, his father like approaches him and he's done with him. I mean, can you believe this? Like, and he wants it to be sort of
you gotta
think Sam's mom has to know something happened because. Right. You know, he's brought out to the woods. He's led out to the woods to meet with his father, where he's basically doing what we see in the TV show that Tywin's doing, which is cutting, gutting a deer and, you know, and things like that. And tells him that he's got to take off for, you know, Castle Black and, and the Night's Watch Black.
Or I'll hunt you.
Or I'll kill you. Yeah.
Yeah. He says, you've given me cause to give me no cause to disown you, but neither will I allow you to inherit the land and title that should be Dickens. Is the dumbest name.
Dickens?
Dickon Tarly.
Yeah.
It's also just funny. In the show, Bronn is like, are you serious? Like, that's your, you know what I mean?
Like, So anyways, there's that. But it's just interesting. That I keep thinking his mom has got to know, like, there's no way he would want to go there.
Absolutely. You
know? I mean, why didn't he send him to the Citadel? You know what I mean? To become a maester.
Yeah.
Like, why send him... To the night, why take the black?
Yeah, especially
that seems kind of cruel, doesn't it?
It is, especially as a I think maybe it's because he's a southerner.
So I was about to say the same. He's too close.
As in the north, it's you would do it because you're from the north, you man the wall. Here it's in the north. There's almost like this a pride thing for it, where it's like, oh, we man the wall, right?
Yeah.
You know, it is an honorable thing to do, and some guys choose. I mean, obviously, well, we don't know entirely why Benjen went, but. That's at least like the general idea, right? Is Benjen, the Starks have always manned the wall. There's like this honor thing for it. In the South, it's like a total, like, I'm disowning you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to go where it's cold and rot.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just pretty. I also think that the reason he didn't send him to the Citadel is because he's too close to home.
Yep.
You know, and.
That's right. That's like right next door for that.
Yeah, it is. So it's not too far from, it's not far enough, you know? So. But he's concerned about what his lady wife would think. He doesn't want to displease her, and so he does love her and stuff, even though he's this hard guy.
And right here, so just, you know, there is your choice. The Night's Watch, he reached inside the deer, ripped out its heart, and held it in his fist, red and dripping. Or this.
Chimney Christmas. Yeah. Do you think his dad would have actually done it?
Yes.
Wow.
I do. I absolutely do.
Yeah, I think he would have too. And I think Sam knows that too. You know, as much as he's much effort as he's put into trying to, you know, turn him into, you know, someone he's not. Mm-hmm. And good for Sam. Don't be someone who you're not. Be who you are. You know what I mean? Embrace, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
His bookishness, right? You know?
Yeah. So that's kind of it. So then they go back to John said, let's go back to the Great Hall. There's hot cider to drink.
Yeah, but now this is interesting. I think the, yeah, there's hot cider to drink, mulled wine if you prefer. Some nights Darren sings for us in the mood, if the mood is on him. He was a singer before, well, not truly, but almost, an apprentice singer. And he asked how he came here, and I just thought this is kind of cool. Lord Rowan of Golden Grove found him in bed with his daughter. The girl was 2 years older, and Darren swears she helped him through her window, but under her father's eye, she named it rape. So here he is. So these people who come north, you know, they're not all rapist and things like that. Sometimes it's situations like this where, like, they didn't expect that to happen. You know what I mean? Like, they did nothing wrong, really, other than try to, you know, dance
or
with
he's telling a lie.
Or he's lying. Or he's lying.
But we'll take him at his word.
I kind of believe that he's one of John's boys.
Yeah.
So I think if he's on the good side for me.
Yeah.
But, kind of, you know.
Yeah.
But I thought that was interesting. So, Yeah, and then when Maester Aemon heard him sing, he said his voice was honey poured over thunder. John smiled, you know.
Right. But I mean, yeah, I'm sure there are people that like, oh, I stole to feed my family that are at the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, you know.
Well, I mean, I believe him
yeah,
for sure.
I do too. Yeah.
I just think when you hear he's a raper, you know, or he's a thief, or he's whatever, you got to kind of think, you know, Ger doesn't just let that, you know, remember who's saying it.
Right.
Remember, you know, where this person came from. So it's never just there's layers to it.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. And then Sam admits that he'd like to hear both of them sing. He kind of goes on. He makes a joke. I think who was the other person he said was singing or tried to sing from time to time? Pip. No. Toad sometimes sings too, and Pip says his voice sounds like piss poured over a fart. So they head back in, and I think he, you know, he's feeling good about John and recognizes that John's kind of the leader of this group.
Yeah.
You know, and has a chance to really, you know, go in here and sit with these guys. So let's see here. The others were still in the common room when John returned alone, but Ghost. The others.
Yeah.
where have you been? Pip asked. Talking with Sam, he said. He truly is craven, said Gren. At supper there were still places on the bench when he got his pie, but he was too scared to come sit with us. So as I mentioned earlier, like it's just
The Lord of Ham thinks he's too good to eat with us, suggested Jaren.
Yeah. Not even close, man. That's not even close. He wants to sit with you guys, but he just, you know, and then John, they start making noises and making fun of him and stuff. Mm-hmm. And John is the one who tells him to put an end to it. Stop it. Knock it off. And you basically, they develop, this is where they develop the plan to kind of protect Sir Piggy, you know?
Yeah, Sir Piggy, yeah.
So, and then Rast is the one who doesn't want to go through with it.
Yeah, you girls do as you please, Rast said. But if Thorne sends me against Lady Piggy, I'm going to slice me off a rasher of bacon.
Yeah.
And then hours later, as the castle slept, three of them paid a call on his cell. And this is where John, you know, they open him up wake him up, I should say, and say, remember, we know where you sleep.
Right. Yeah, Ghost goes in there, kind of gnaws on his neck a little bit. And the next morning he says that he, you know, cut himself with a razor blade. I just think it shows you that, like, John is willing to follow through on his threats. Remember, I mean,
is his name Rast in the show? I don't think it is.
I think it's someone else.
He's kind of like a blended character.
Yeah,
of like
they take a couple of different people and put them together. I think.
That guy they wake up to, and then he's same thing where Alistair sends him out, and he's just like, no, ain't gonna
do it. Right, for sure. So now there's some neat stuff here right at the end. Let's see. Before he had found the nerve to join their talk. But in time, this is talking about Sam, he was laughing at Pip's faces and teasing Gren with the best of them. So just such a nice, he's one of the boys, you know what I mean? One of the boys, he gets to come over and sit down and have a good time. So he's fat and awkward and frightened, but he was no fool. One night he visited John's cell and he says, I don't know what you did, but I know that you did it. And he looked away shyly. I've never had a friend before.
Yeah.
And John says, we're not friends.
Yeah.
We're brothers.
Yeah.
It's just really cool. It's a cool moment because, and he goes back to think, you know, like he goes, after Sam leaves, he's like, these are my brothers.
Yeah.
You know, even though I had Rob, Brand, and Rick on, he was never really one of them. And he was never really allowed to be. And even though
he was
closest
with Arya.
He actually might have been closest with Arya out of all of them.
Yeah,
really. Even though I know he spoke with Rob quite a bit, and they were still close.
Right.
But the person who truly embraced him through and through was Arya. I mean, she didn't see him as a half brother. You know, and so for him to come up here and just be accepted, and for all of them to come from different walks of life and accept each other, I think that's why the Night's Watch is so cool. You know, it's why we have Take the Black as our tier on Patreon, just because it's like, that's where it's at, man. You know, they're guarding the realm, you know? So I don't know. But he thinks just at the very end there that his uncle spoke truly. And he's whispering this to Ghost. He wondered if he would ever see Benjen Stark again to tell him. Yeah. And I think that's more of his uncle told him some of these truths about the wall and the Night's Watch, but also the Brotherhood.
Yeah. It is a brotherhood.
Because he kind of scolds him at the end. He's like, these are my brothers.
Right.
You know, like, this is where I belong. And he kind of really lets him know that, like, you know, although you're blood and although you're my nephew and things like that, this is, these are my brothers. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's really neat. So,
yeah.
So there you go. That's the end, essentially. It's just that nice little connection to Benjen and such a good introduction to
Sam.
To Sam that
who becomes a huge character. I don't think he has any POVs in this book, but he does later. So all right, next week we're in Eddard 6.
Wow, we go right back to it, don't we?
We do, because, yeah. Eddard, John, Eddard. And real quick, just because I kind of want to, because I found this theory the other day. And this is kind of a, so next week, Eddard 6, it's where we're going to be talking about, it's where Eddard goes and finds Gendry, or Gendry.
Okay.
And I found this theory, which I thought was super cool, and so I thought maybe I would go ahead and tease it now.
Yeah.
And this, I think, is much, much, much more of a showism. And remember when Cersei is talking to Catelyn when she goes up and she visits Bran, who's like Fel.
Yes.
And she talks about how she had this baby and it had black hair. It was just like Robert's, and they took it away from her.
Yeah.
Right. So there are people suggesting that it could be just a total showism, is that what if Gendry was actually Cersei and Robert's like actual son?
Yeah.
Which would then make him the like true legitimate heir to the Iron Throne, because Robert actually won it. And then he would and then Cersei and him were married, so it would actually make him the actual like legitimate heir to the throne, because even though it's probably going to be Jon, right, because the Targaryen's going to come back, but right now as it stands it is still, well, I guess Cersei kind of took it as the, you know, weird Lannister claim that you have going right now,
right? Yeah,
but as far as the Baratheon side is concerned, Gendry,
even in the books right now, it's,
even in the
Tommen, so
right, so
well, and I'd have to go back and look at that.
I definitely have to go back and look at what the books say about
it. Yeah, because I thought,
because they kind of talk about it, but it seemed, I thought she had, well, it, like,
lost versus died. She lost a child versus her child died. It's a different thing. So,
like, lost sounds like a miscarriage.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even if the child was born and then
was like stillborn or something.
Yeah, lost in life or what? Maybe, who knows? Sometimes that baby is just taken away, and I don't know. You know what I'm saying? That's interesting, because she,
and it's just a theory I hadn't heard.
I haven't heard that either.
Because I've definitely heard that, well, maybe they'll legitimize Gendry.
Right, I'll have to go back and
or something, but
pay more attention to what it says in the books. Because remember, we at the beginning of this whole, we were talking, we actually had, you and I had a discussion about
plus
show versus book on this.
Right, yeah.
Trying to figure it out.
Have to, but I will also say, just so, I just want to tease it so I'm, maybe people talk about it in the group.
Yeah.
Because I want to definitely talk about it in the group, is when Gendry talks about his mom, right? He doesn't really remember her or whatever. He just remembers like this blonde haired woman from the taverns. And we know that Cersei used to disguise herself and go into like the taverns for things. And so,
wait, say that again?
Yeah. So like, remember like when Cersei, like she disguises herself to go into like taverns. And stuff like that, when like she's hooking up with Osmond Kettleblack
and stuff like that. Okay, okay.
But then, there's a point where Gendry is saying, like, all I really remember about my mom was that she was this like kind of, he says like, I think she was like a blonde haired woman. And like, I remember at this like tavern or something.
Wow.
Yeah. So
okay,
I saw a theory. It was on YouTube. I will, I will find it and I'll post it in the group.
That's fine. I just
and see what everyone thinks about it. And so I'm kind of paraphrasing here on it. So, you know,
I
just saw it the other day.
Don't hold
like,
you to.
Cool.
Yeah.
I don't want to be quoted as saying anything.
I get it.
But I just,
not on record, but on the podcast.
Yeah. It's on the podcast. So I will find it and I will post it in the group. Cause, it was just super interesting. I just had not thought of that.
Gotcha.
So anyway, so that's what we'll be talking about next week.
Okay, cool. And actually, real quick, and just to, if people want to go take a look at where this is at, like, it's when she's talking to Eddard Stark in the book about possibly aborting a child that presumably by Robert using Moon's Tea. It's in Game of Thrones chapter 45.
That is, and that's the chapter where Ned is confronts her, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And so, yeah. Did, yeah. Right, well, did somebody save that child? Right. You know, yeah, okay.
Because there's also, in the show, there's the scene where Robert and Cersei are talking about their marriage.
Exactly.
That is only in the show.
Yeah.
And they talk about, like,
this is where I got it reversed, because she in the show is very much like, that's she did love him, right? You know, and she in the beginning wanted to have this son for him,
right?
You know,
where in the book it's like totally the opposite.
Yeah,
she says like I was still always going to be with Jamie.
Right, yeah. Well, actually, I think it's the first time that he ever, even like when he tries to consummate them, isn't when he, like he just says Liana's name and stuff, and then it was just over.
Yeah.
So there's nothing there. So anyways, yeah, it's if you want to, we'll take a look at that. Game of Thrones, chapter 45, see if you can go read up on that, send us some quotes, or maybe Raven about it as we discuss it.
Follow up Friday, because we'll have it all read before then. So
yeah. So anyways, okay. All right. I think that is that's it there. Let's jump into Send a Raven. Each week we kind of go over maybe like an origin story or a short Raven. Most of our Ravens are saved for Follow Up Friday, but we always do at least one or two here in the main show. If we can, send those to btkcast@gmail.com and have your Raven read on the show. This week we have Lady Regine, you know, she kind of sent us her origin story here. And so I thought we'd read it. Awesome friendship we've had with her, just getting to know her and things. It's just so cool. Someone across the world, you know, that we get to interact with and hang out with and talk to on the group and stuff. And she's real knowledgeable and has a lot of good insights into the series. Mm-hmm. So she says, well, this might seem a little shallow, but in 2013, I had this boyfriend who introduced me to the first season of the show, he was like, you're totally going to love this. So I, of course, was reluctant to the idea of liking it, because a little uptight 20-year-old girl does not like to be told what she is going to like and not. Reluctant to watch it, I think, right? She goes, I watched two episodes with him and pretended I was not that convinced. Some days later, he went on a trip to Africa for a month, and I binged through both season one and two by myself and discovered that my life got one level better because of Game of Thrones. Then I dumped him 2 months later. And my relationship with Game of Thrones has only grown stronger. I just think that's a hilarious, you know, story. So don't try to tell Regine what she's going to like or not like. Okay. She'll come to it in her own time, and then she'll dump you if you
do. I guess. So, yeah. So,
so anyways, thanks Regine. Always nice to hear from you, and hope you're doing well. Next, I think we have another one here, Sir Matt. This is long. We can kind of tag team this together a little bit, if that's cool. This is from Sam the Hammer, and he definitely fooled me into believing this was a short Raven.
Yeah, a quick Raven to share my origin story. Let me zoom in here. My eyes are getting a little, I turned 30. Everyone said when you turn 30, you'll be fine. Yeah,
right.
I think they were lying here. Like most of the previous respondents, my story starts with a foolish peasant unwilling to look upon the fires and see the truth.
Yeah.
I get very little time to watch TV and am always generally reluctant to get into a serial drama because I struggle to keep up to date with the series. I've missed every great TV series recommended to me, from The Sopranos to Lost, The Wire to Breaking Bad, and most recently Westworld. Well, I will say The Sopranos is really good. Lost... so it's okay. The Wire is really good from what I've heard. I haven't watched Breaking Bad, and I couldn't get into Westworld.
Dude, the only one of those I've actually seen is Westworld. I'm with him. I've missed all of the other, shows you're supposed to watch.
But the only time I tend to watch anything regularly is when I cook, but it's easier to work my way through box sets of comedies, which require less attention. For example, I am currently watching the first series of Community. FYI, there's a guy in it who looks an awful lot like Childish Gambino. Yeah, I believe it's the same guy, Donald Glover. A few years back, sometime after Series 5 of Game of Thrones aired, the box set became available, and I had run out of anything I wanted to watch. I heard about Gurr and the Song of Ice and Fire series through friends, and some of the elements of the books appealed to me. I like stories with moral ambiguity. I'm a fan of Tolkien, and I have an interest in medieval history. I also like the fact that the book series was written with a finite conclusion in mind.
Yeah.
Meaning that the TV series was likely to going to have a strong story arc throughout seasons. It took me about a week to get through the first couple of episodes, and I wasn't a fan. There were some elements I liked, but a lot of the characters felt cartoonish, and the writers seemed to be going for shock value without substance. In hindsight, the opinions seemed... ridiculous, but in my defense, Jaime and Cersei could have been Disney villains based upon those two episodes. The Starks were seemingly invincible. Bran survived being pushed out of a window, and Catelyn survived a knife attack, all in the space of what seems like a day. Mm-hmm, yeah. And whenever the dialogue slowed down, someone got their tits out.
Yeah.
Which is pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Season one, I will say, of the show, especially the pilot, is so weird. Having to go back and watch it, like the Hound has like a total, they all have different makeup and hair, and it's totally different.
Yeah.
And season one, I found this funny chart. Where have you ever seen How I Met Your Mother?
Maybe an episode.
Okay. Well, there's a chart in there that I can't. I'm sure people are screaming at me that I can't remember his name, but it's the guy who plays Doogie Howser, Neil Patrick Harris.
Yep.
And he has this chart and he's talking about like women and he's talking about like crazy versus hot.
Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah, I've heard of that.
They like they merge and he's like, okay, at this point, like somebody should stop.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And I remember seeing this one that somebody made like a similar one about Game of Thrones, and it's like porn and plot, and like as the plot like goes up, like the porn in the show like trails down. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, I'm totally with you on some of the stuff in the first season.
Yeah.
There were peripheral characters whose fate was so obvious that they might as well have been wearing a red Starfleet uniform.
True. Yeah.
I preserved to the end of the season, and although I started to understand the appeal, I never quite got over those first impressions. Jump forward a couple of months and I came in late one evening from the gym. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, I work out. I was full of adrenaline and unable to sleep, so turned the TV on to wind down. There was nothing on except a mid-season episode of Game of Thrones. I was still unsure of the show, but everyone was so insistent that I would enjoy it that I gave it a chance, so I thought this would be a good test. A normal episode right in the middle of the story with no predictable end of the season cliffhanger. Oh, gosh, mm-hmm. I just saw a line ahead. Mm-hmm. This was the meat and potatoes of the show, and I could give it a fair try. The episode was Season 3, Episode 9,
yep.
Which I think is quite infamous. Episode 9 is always... Well, and then episode 6 in the most current final season, season 7. Episode 9 always seems to be the one where all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, yeah.
And this particular one, The Reigns of Castamere, better known as The Red Wedding. Within an hour, pretty much all of the preconceptions I'd had about the show were ripped apart, and almost every character was in a completely different position to what I had arrogantly assumed after watching the first season. Rob and Kat were dead, Sam was still alive, and Arya and the Hound had formed the most unlikely buddy film duo since Turner and Hooch.
Yeah.
I then restarted the series from the beginning, paying much more attention, seeing the subtlety and foreshadowing make it a completely different show in my mind, and I gorged on the series for the next couple of years, rewatching it several times. Between seasons 6 and 7, I started to get interested in predictions and fan theories, and that led me into a world of the wiki and Reddit and understanding more about the book series. I just wanted to know more about the books, so decided to find podcasts and listen to in a long dry spell between season 7 and 8. I found a few... but the ones based on the show had little say in between series, and the ones based on the books had been around for such a long time that they were too deep in. They had become insular and self-referential.
Mm-hmm.
Your cast came along at just the right time. I discovered it maybe an episode before you went purely A Song of Ice and Fire, and detailed reread was definitely what I was looking for. But my favorite thing has been Fallout Fridays, discussing the outlandish theories, making a case for them, and giving them room to breathe is what creates that community feel. On the Reddit pages, I see so many posters get shot down because their theories have holes or contradict the mm-hmm. accepted consensus, whereas the fun and interest for me comes from making a case for and against them. I don't believe half the stuff I send to you guys, but the books are so rich that there's always a quote that will make you stop and wonder if you've stumbled onto some massive endgame theory. I couldn't believe it last week when Sir Matt mentioned that a King's Landing bastard would be born a Waters. That suddenly changed my whole opinion on what was going on and opened up loads of possible rabbit holes to dig into.
Yeah.
Writing in and being involved in the show just adds to the enjoyment. I would strongly suggest that people get involved with the show and send in their thoughts and ideas. It is a great buzz when a new podcast is released and the title suggests one of your theories, questions, or drunken riffs is going to get read out, no matter how half-baked the idea may be. And it is great to see different people's perspective and interest. Some people go really deep into the magic side. Sir Adam Parker likes structured, tied-up theories. I'm into the prophecies and foreshadowing and interconnections between them all. Regine of Ask Ghostland brings the historical context, and the Ghost of Harrenhal comes in with great stuff on seemingly inconsequential details and characters that suddenly blow up and make you think, oh my god.
Yeah.
Not to mention Lady Kelsey or Robbie of Newcastle or anyone else. You guys set out to create a book club, and it's those contributions that make it work. Such a long one. Do you really believe this would be a short? Wait, sorry, it's such a long one. Did you really believe this would be a short, Raven?
No. Yeah, should have known.
If you must know, I am procrastinating to avoid packing next week, and we are off to the Kingdom D Magic to parlay with Lord Michael of House Mouse.
Yeah.
I will be sure to let him know that Sir Matt and Sir Ezra send their regards.
Yes,
as always, please. I pledge my banner to you both. Keep up the good work, Sam the Hammer.
Oh man!
First of all, let me just—I just want to respond to your last segment there, and Sir Ezra and I cannot thank all of you guys enough.
No, we really can't.
Really, and we mean this. We would do this regardless. We've tried it. You know, we've tried it in the past. At one point, we were doing just responses to the show and things like that. But the show, we cannot stress enough just how much you guys sending us Ravens keeps the show fresh and makes it very easy for us.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, we would just have to come up with all these theories on our own.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I've said, like, you guys have sent in, like, I mean, the Ghost now is sending in, like, passages and references to you know, the book, and you've got Sir Gibbs, you know, fact checking everything, and, you know, getting some feedback on stuff in the Facebook group, and Lord Adam Parker's theories are just, oh my good lord, yeah, I mean, he's got so much research behind everything.
Like, it's daunting, but it's amazing.
It's utterly
amazing. And even when people send us short ones,
like, oh my gosh,
some of the short ones, I'm like, I have never thought of that.
I'm like, what?
Because it's there's so much to pull from.
Yeah.
It's also like, where are you at currently, right? It's like, you know, like right now I'm reading through Arya. It's like, so my mind is just kind of set in Arya stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Sir Ezra, I think there's stuff that I'm like, the characters I kind of go to. So I feel stronger in those characters, and I think there's characters
you surprised me, because you're like, again, this is why a reread matters, because Sir Matt has just blazed through this series, and like, there are characters that I haven't experienced in Storm of Swords for a long time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm like, holy cow, because every time I've started to do a reread, I get through, you know, Clash of Kings, and I start, you know,
right.
And I'm just kind of like, all right, cool, and then I might jump ahead or something. I don't know what it is, but around that middle part, I just kind of get bogged down
Clash
and move
Kings
ahead. So.
Clash of Kings gets a little long.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
So
I would argue that Clash of Kings is, and when I say this, I mean, it's still amazing, right?
Oh,
Clash of
Kings,
I would say it's the worst book.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know, just because you're in the worst book of five amazing books, is I'm not saying it's bad or anything.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. But really though, like some of the, like, even Sam, you know, sending in some of his, you know, air quote here, half baked theory. They're not necessarily half baked. It depends on where you're at, because you can find that one line, as he says, to justify your theory or to make you think of something, and it's fine. Somebody comes back with a counter and says, like, well, you know, this kind of contradicts that. The other day we had that
Raven that was like three sentences long, and it was like, does Jaime and Ser Barristan know?
I know.
And it was like, what?
Like, do they know?
It was like, it's literally like one question. It's like, do you think they knew? And I was like,
when we were thinking about
the way we approach them is different too, because.
Yeah. True.
Some of the ones that are more open-ended are, wow. But then the ones that are super detailed, it's like, okay, they're drawing out their exact points. And then it's a great thing, because when Sir Ezra and I, the way we kind of tell things and tell stories is different. Like, I have all this buildup. Like, in general, we're talking about life. I set up all this context and build up.
Yeah.
I'm like that kind of person. It's like, I want to draw like the most intricate possible, like you're wrapping a present, the most intricate bow. And like, you notice it all. And then you just pull it away. And then it's like, oh my gosh, there it is. And it's set up.
Yeah.
It's just different. Yeah. So
that's true. You got to stick with Sir Matt for a bit, because he's building to something. And then you're like, wow.
Yeah.
There it is. Okay.
Yeah. But
I know, so it's neat to get the different personalities coming through in the Ravens and what they are interested in. Some people are really interested in the connections that he, like Lady Regine, you know, like the connections to the War of Roses and stuff.
Absolutely.
Like that. You know?
Stuff like I would never think of
or have
the time to research or.
Yeah. So,
so
that's why a community is important. That's why we thought it was the best way to go, because we don't have all the answers.
Absolutely.
There's no person out there who, besides besides the man himself,
yeah,
who knows what's going on. But the rest of us are just kind of like along to be entertained and have a good time and get immersed in this world. I mean, mm-hmm. there are days where I wake up thinking I'm a hedge knight. You know, I'm on my way into work, yep. and I got a 40-minute drive, and I'm just like, I'm on my horse, but it's a car, and I'm just like mm-hmm. enjoying my time thinking about what it would be like, you know. Yeah. So I don't know. It's just,
great. Yeah. It's fantastic. And like a lot of YouTube channels and podcasts and stuff like that, like, you know, and I'm not criticizing or anything. You know, a lot of times they like just creators in general, they create something and then like the community kind of responds.
Yeah.
And so the community is part of their show or whatever. I generally feel like the community is our show.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
we've got a whole day dedicated to it being, you know, a place where you can kind of send us ravens and get them read. And I'm telling you, if you think we're not going to read your crazy raven, we might say like, wow, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But we're going to read it and put it out there, and then somebody else might be able to add to it and take it further, yeah. you know, or what have you. And also, I think some people are afraid because, like, they want to send us a show theory. Go for it.
No, absolutely.
Because we are open to
that.
We love to say if this is a show theory. And, mm-hmm. and then basically, if you go show theory, I mean, screw it. Everything's on the table.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can do whatever you want with a show theory. It's fantastic. Yeah. Those are fun.
I'll entertain video game theories from that one video game,
yeah.
the Telltale one, House Forrester.
House Forrester, man.
I'll entertain it. What's going to happen with them? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah.
So anyways, yeah, thanks. I mean, Sam, we're really glad you said all that because that's honestly means a lot to us, and we're proud of this book club. We're proud of, you know, what we're doing, and we're excited for what's coming, you know, and everything. And it's just completely immersed.
And with the show, the way we structure it is, we Sreza and I, because we always obviously talk about, like, you know, what do we want to do? Let's plan things out. We look at the business side of it, but the production side of it.
Yeah.
And we kind of realized sometimes when we look at the numbers, like, man, sometimes we feel like Fallout Friday might be bigger than the main show. I think sometimes it has been. And
for
so,
sure.
And so it's just interesting. We hadn't planned this, but we were talking about this the other day is, you know, the main show comes out on Monday. And so it's at the beginning of the week. It's that more structured thing. And then Friday comes out. Fallout Friday's on Friday.
Yeah.
It's like end of the week. Like,
yeah. Have you a drink?
We had not thought of it. Because originally we were going to post the show on Sunday. And then we were like, I don't know. Everyone always posts on Sunday. Let's do it on Monday.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, you know, it just happened. Like, totally just happened.
By
like,
chance. Yeah, like, yeah. It's that feel and format on Fridays is loose.
And if you go and Fallout Friday started because we had so many people write in theories.
Absolutely.
That we were like, well, let's just do a lot of people do like fan mail.
Right.
Friday. But this isn't. This isn't fans. These are our bannermen. These are our fellow lords and ladies.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
We're just mere hedge knights, guys.
We're not like these high lordlings like demanding things.
Now
you know?
The realm may need a hedge knight.
Yeah, the realm may need a hedge. We're in this together.
Right.
Okay.
We may take someone on in single combat.
The darkness that is the wait until season 8 is upon us.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
We rally and we ride together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is great. It is
it
great
is.
Because we kind of have this group.
The
going
winds
forward,
of winter
right?
are coming.
I know. You think about like the two of us on horses just riding forward, right?
Yeah.
And then we got somebody else joins us. Then
yeah.
another over there comes from the west. Someone from the south. We meet people going north. And it's like we're driving north, and just like people keep getting behind it and like telling stories. You know, making plans. You
mm-hmm.
know, battle plans. How are we going to approach this next season or this next book? You know, it's just it's so freaking awesome.
Because when the winds of winter comes. It's gonna be a lot.
Oh yeah.
it's gonna be
you
game
guys are gonna
changing.
Get flooded with stuff. Just be ready. Hold on to your horses, and you know it'll be time. So, okay. All right. Wow, got all excited there. Now, let's move on to Man the Wall. Some updates here for those of you who are new patrons, and you know, we just actually just changed a couple things on the Patreon page. Basically, we're gonna be doing knighting ceremonies upon people's request,
right?
Just because.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of people who are just like maesters. They just want that tier for the rewards, other rewards. Because
we
have like 2 to 3 in each thing. And so it's kind of like, look, if you want that one, you know, knighting ceremony thing, hit us up.
Right.
Send us your words. It's better when we have your house words and your region and things like that. So those will be just upon request. And we're sitting on the show and we just got a new patron. So as we were recording. So shout out to that person. But
it's
Oh, so yeah, of course, Sir Matt's gonna. Yeah,
yeah, Lady Paula.
Lady Paula.
Lady yeah. Paula. Yeah. Yeah.
So shout out to you. But if you had, so we have a couple. We actually are formatting a new mm-hmm. shirt. I'm working with Sir Matt right now on working on getting like a different type of shirt going here soon. Mm-hmm. And we have a bunch of shirts, though. We're sending those out. Those are actually, so if you're listening on Monday, the shirts have been sent to everyone who is who needed one. We also, I got behind on sending out the prizes, too. So that's my fault because of the move and then the start of the school year. Literally was nuts and didn't have a chance to do that. But those have all been sent out now, so we're up to date as of the 27th. Mm-hmm. So we August 27th. So we should be good there moving forward. We have a better system now, I think, to kind of get stuff sent out pretty quickly. So if you want to sign up and support the show on patreon.com/bendtheknee, that would be fantastic. Sir Matt and I would love that and really appreciate Absolutely. It. And it just makes, you know, even there, we're posting things like, oh my gosh, what are we... wow, that's coming
Dance
up.
Dance of Dragons.
Next week.
It's coming
Dance
up.
Of Dragons. Yeah, we have to do the Black Council, and we have other ideas
and
for
then
Green Dreams.
After that, yep, we have Green Dreams
Hedge
coming.
Knights series.
After that, we're going through the three Dunkin' Egg books.
I'm really excited to go back
I
and do
am
those.
Too.
Yeah.
Because
you've probably read those.
I listen to those weekly, like, to be honest, at this point.
I figured you did. Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, the way I have it kind of structured now is, so Monday, I typically listen to... the stuff to get ready for the next week. So yep. The World of Ice and Fire and Game of Thrones.
Gotcha.
Then it's like Tuesday I typically listen to, I re-listen to one of the Hedge Knight or the Dunkin' Egg books.
Yeah. Yep.
And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I just kind of plow through like whatever characters.
I'm
on. So right now I'm on Arya yep. and I just finished Storm of Swords with Arya.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. That's actually pretty awesome.
Yeah. Fortunately, right now, you know, as I'm still employed for 2 weeks before I move and
yeah.
have no job besides this podcast.
Yeah.
The job I'm at currently, I can listen to podcasts like all day. So
yeah.
It's kind of nice.
That's nice. That's awesome. All right. Well, anyways, hit us up there. We've got more content coming for you, obviously, and we'll have even more when Fire and Blood drops and things. So we have some exciting stuff going on there. But we're going to update. We're going to send you guys an image soon of the updated, just an easygoing shirt that we wanted to send out to different people for that tier. So we've got we're already working on our December package. We've already been planning for a big Christmas package to you guys on Patreon. So
yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, we're working on a shirt. We may do shirts. We may do something else. But we definitely do have a new shirt design that we're piecing together.
Yeah.
So that may be the one. I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah, I am too. I am too. So, alrighty. All right. So that is it for Man the Wall. I think unfortunately it is time to say farewell. So.
We want to thank you for playing the Game of Thrones. In our next episode, we will be discussing Chapter 27, Eddard 6.
Mm-hmm. If you like our podcast, don't forget to subscribe, like us, write a review, leave a comment, or send us a raven at btkcast@gmail.com.
We will see you in a week, and remember that winter